in Berkeley. I'm Dennis Bernstein, listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Scott Ritter is a former chief UN weapons inspector in Iraq. He is also the author, most recently, of Frontier Justice, Weapons of Mass Destruction, and the Bushwhacking of America. Ritter has been one of the most outspoken critics of the Bush rush to war, based on claims that Iraq was on the verge of obtaining various weapons of mass destruction. Just about every claim that Ritter made before the war has been borne out, and the administration line has now been shown to be thoroughly false. Joining us to talk about this in the context of the burgeoning Bush Intimidate scandal is Scott Ritter. He joins us on a day when U.S. Weapons Inspector David Kaye testifies before Congress. Scott Ritter, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, let me just get your initial response to what's unfolding now in Washington, the outing of a covert officer, I guess, as a act of revenge against somebody who opposed administration policy. You should know something about that.
Well, first of all, we don't know what the facts are right now, and I think we should, you know, be upfront and honest about it. I think there's a lot of people out there right now who would love nothing more than for President Bush to be caught up in a juicy little scandal that damaged him politically. I myself would probably not shed many tears if that were the case, but to be fair, we don't know what the facts are. That's why there's an investigator, and that's why an investigation is taking place. So I think that, you know, people should understand that this goes, the nature of these charges go well beyond politics. If, in fact, somebody outed an agent of the CIA, this is a crime that is on par with that committed by Aldrich Ames, the rogue CIA agent, or Robert Hansen, the FBI agent gone bad. These men were charged not only with treason, but with murder. You know, their irresponsible actions resulted in the exposing of American assets abroad, human assets, and lives were lost. And we have the potential here for a CIA covert operative who was in the business of putting together human intelligence networks designed to prevent the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, having her identity revealed and her networks exposed, putting at risk the lives of those people whom she worked with and recruited. So there's potential for great serious, this is a very serious issue here. And, you know, we shouldn't rush the judgment. These are serious charges with serious implications. And I think what everybody should be demanding is that an objective and impartial, you know, examination of the data be done. Whether or not that can be done, you know, within the context of the Ashcroft Justice Department is a legitimate question and one which should be examined. But I'm not one of those who is rushing to judge the guilt of you know, any one of the several high-profile personalities who have been fingered in association with this. I believe that, you know, the charges are of such a serious nature that we need to let the facts be gathered and then let the chips fall where they might.
And, of course, that is beginning to unfold, and we will see exactly how that investigation goes. I want to direct your attention to the other part of this. The woman who clearly was outed by somebody in the administration, there appears to be a crime committed. Who committed it, how it took place, is, I think, a major part of that investigation. But the agent was outed apparently in the context of her husband's outspoken remarks regarding administration policy and their facts regarding weapons of mass destruction. Please talk a little bit about Joseph Wilson, the charges that he made, and why what he was saying was important based on who he was and the content of that material.
I mean, Joseph Wilson is a man who definitely had access to information about the veracity of some of the most explosive charges made by the Bush administration in regards to Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction program, the efforts by Iraq, the alleged efforts to acquire uranium feedstocks for a nuclear weapons program. The president inserted, you know, this allegation into his State of the Union address of this year, 16 words, which have come back to haunt him. And Joseph Wilson is one of the forces that led the effort to expose the president's gross misrepresentation, indeed fabrication of evidence here. I think what we see in the Bush administration's response to this isn't an administration that views truth as its ally, but truth as its enemy. And anybody who is the purveyor of truth is a legitimate target. And Joseph Wilson became such a target by doing his patriotic duty in informing the American public about statements made by the president that were patently false. Tragically, his wife got caught up in this political game, and now it's no longer a matter of politics, but national security. You know, her outing has the potential to have done great harm to the security of the United States by outing an effective covert operative and the networks of agents that she managed.
All right, let's talk about the weapons of mass destruction. We have David Kaye, a U.S. weapons inspector, testifying before Congress, I believe, today. Where is the administration investigation? What do we know now that we didn't know before?
Well, what we know now is that what the president said existed in Iraq prior to the initiation of hostilities in March has not been borne out. We know that simply. The president said there were massive stockpiles of chemical and biological agent. Nothing is being found. The president said that there was an ongoing effort to produce nuclear weapons. Nothing of the sort has been found. So we know that the president, at a minimum, grossly exaggerated the case for war against Iraq, and that, in fact, Iraq did not present the kind of grave and imminent threat to the security of the United States that warranted military action. We're also beginning to find out that this goes well beyond an intelligence failure, that, in fact, the intelligence community possessed the data necessary to make the proper assessments in regards to the true nature of the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction program, but that ideological and political concerns trumped the intelligence realities, and that the president manipulated the data and indeed lied to the American people. So this isn't just about false statements. This is about a process that produced false statements. And David Kaye's presentation to the United States Congress today is but a continuation of that. This is a man who's not there to tell us the truth, but rather to spin the data in a way that is politically advantageous to the president.
Why do you say that? What evidence, what in his past tells you that that would be the case?
Well, every single one of the appearances he's made before the Congress of the United States and the buildup for the war is evidence in and of itself. This is a man who was paid by the CIA as an analyst for SAIC Corporation to assess the Iraqi threat and then to take these assessments to the United States Congress when called upon and deliver the bleakest of assessments about the grave nature of the Iraqi threat. This is something he did on a regular basis, something he did with increased frequency in the build-up to the war. This is a man who has his own personal vested interest in exposing weapons of mass destruction. He has stated and put his reputation on the line that these weapons must exist. He's not a fair and objective, impartial investigator of the truth. And to take a look at, you know, to take this further, look at his most recent trip home prior to this current one in August of this year, where he was summoned to Congress by the White House to brief senators and congressmen behind closed doors about what he has found. If you recall, in August, the president was under tremendous pressure to expose weapons. He needed some assistance, and David Kaye was brought in, and David Kaye told Congress to expect that weapons will be found, that he has found evidence of these weapons. He can't produce it at the moment. He needs time to evaluate it, but he gave Congress enough nuggets so that they could come out from behind closed doors and say with no uncertainty that weapons had been found and that these programs would be exposed. That was spinning for political purposes. David Kaye was buying the president time. And he's doing that today. Although he can't provide any evidence of weapons, what he's saying is that there was a deception program in place, that Saddam lied, and moreover, that the lie was in the form of a great bluff. The reason why we aren't finding any weapons is there were no weapons to find. But it's not the Bush administration's fault. It's Saddam's fault, because Saddam was bluffing the world into believing that he had weapons in hopes of forestalling an invasion of the likes which took place in March. What an absurd statement to make when, in fact, over the last decade, every statement made by the Iraqi government is that we have no weapons of mass destruction.
So what you're saying here, to get this straight, is that it's the administration saying he fooled us and that's why we went in?
That's what David Kaye's report is allegedly saying.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Our guest is Scott Ritter. He's a former chief UN weapons inspector in Iraq. He is most recently the author of Frontier Justice, Weapons of Mass Destruction, and the Bushwhacking of America. Tell us a little bit about why you chose that title for your book and what that has to do with what's inside.
Well, Frontier Justice represents a raw form of justice. It's, you know, when you take a look at the definition of frontier, it's, you know, a town or a strip of land or territory that resides between civilization and, you know, an uncivilized territory. And frontier justice is, you know, the kind of justice that we experienced back in the opening of the West, a sheriff that basically ruled a town not based upon, you know, the framework of law, but on what he felt was the right thing to do. That's where we had vigilante justice. We had posse justice. We had people going out and capturing people and stringing them up by their neck until dead before they had a trial. That's frontier justice, and that's what has been perpetrated in Iraq. You know, the president has gone out and strung up Saddam Hussein, accusing him of the weapons of mass destruction equivalent of rustling cattle, saying that you have done wrong. Now that Saddam's been hung, the president's desperately looking for the cattle that have been rustled, only to find that he hung an innocent man, somebody who didn't do that which we were accused of. But in frontier justice, you get away with that. But now the bushwhacking of America is another Western term. Bushwhacking is the most cowardly form of ambush that can take place. You know, when you speak of Sheriff Bush, you know, the Western image he likes to project, wanted dead or alive, you know, it's Gary Cooper in High Noon strutting down the street, six guns strapped to your waist, ready to take the bad guys on face to face. But see, Bush projects that image, but the reality is of a coward who shoots you from behind, a bushwhacking. And that's what's happened here. The president lied to America about the threat posed by Iraq. This was not an accident. This was not a mistake. This was deliberate in its nature. So, hence the title, Frontier Justice, Weapons of Mass Destruction, and the Bushwhacking of America.
Well, Scott Ritter, I want to ask you about the occupation now. You expressed some real fears about the way in which Bush went into the war, the way in which the military went into the war. Now we see an occupation in which U.S. soldiers are dying almost every day. We're having mass riots in the street. Yesterday, thousands rioted. We're seeing unbelievable attacks going in all different directions. What's your response to the occupation, to the response of the administration when they say, bring them on?
Well, again, that's part of the fake cowboy image that George Bush portrays, and indeed his administration portrays. Let's start off with two things. One, George Bush is not a warrior. And in fact, with very, very few exceptions, his administration is populated by people who actively worked to avoid warrior status, people who, when their nation called them to duty, or at least provided the opportunity to serve during the Vietnam War and other times, you know, worked to get out of serving, found war to be inconvenient. These are not brave men or women. These are cowards, people who actively avoided service, and yet today they pretend to be the barrel-chested warriors. Bring them on rings hollow when George Bush ran away from his duties to serve his country during the Vietnam War, deserted his post in the Texas and Alabama Air National Guard. It also rings hollow when you think of this is an administration that's trying to bring on images of the Second World War and the occupation of Germany and Japan and draw a parallel with what they're doing in Iraq. Let's remember this. We have no right to be in Iraq. That should be the opening statement of any discussion about Iraq. We have no right to be there. We shouldn't be there. We don't belong there. So when you realize that and you hear Bush say, bring him on, it only magnifies, you know, the hollow nature of this man and the insidious nature of this man. This is a man who cares nothing about the lives of the American soldiers that he's put at risk and indeed squandered by going to war. He cares nothing about the people of Iraq who we allegedly are trying to help through this war. He cares only about his own political image, which is, again, an empty political image.
All right. Well, Scott Ritta, and on the morale inside the military, we're hearing stories every day about soldiers who don't even know why they're there. They're desperate. They're frustrated. They weren't ready for a year or 2 years of service. Some are reserves. What's your response? How do you see that in this context?
The complaints you hear aren't about the separation per se, but the reasons behind the separation. This isn't the Second World War. This is an illegal invasion of Iraq. The president has tarnished the honor and the service of the men and women who serve in the military by sending them to engage in an illegal war of aggression, an illegitimate occupation. And I think what we're seeing when we hear the soldiers complain isn't about the length of time away from home, but rather the reason why they're doing it. They don't want to be away from home to facilitate George Bush's illegal war of aggression. If this was about taking down Nazi Germany, yes, they'd do it. But this is about something they don't understand. They were lied to. The American people were lied to. They were told they were going to liberate, to bring in democracy, to eliminate a threat. And they found they're there for sort of this neoconservative, ideologically motivated war of aggression that has nothing to do with serving their country or defending their families. And we're seeing the frustration seep out.
All right. Scott Ritta, you are a former UN weapons inspector in Iraq, and we again thank you for being with us on Flashpoints.
Well, thank you very much.